Hello, and welcome to Cheese Flicks with Logan and Andrew, a show where two friends crawl through a river of bad movies and hope to come out clean on the other side.
Cheese Flicks with Logan and Andrew. I'm using my gravelly cowboy voice to mimic the movie we just watched. It's called Gallo Walkers with Wesley Snipes and a few other people I don't recognize. My name's Logan.
Oh, hi. I'm sorry. I got distracted. I was making sure that I filed my taxes. And I'm Andrew. Gallo Walkers, a movie starring, as he said, Wesley Snipes. And the reason I mentioned taxes is because this movie had a little bit of an interruption while Mr. Snipes had to go deal with some federal tax evasion issues.
Whoopsie!
So it was filmed in 2006 and didn't end up being released until 2012.
And it was filmed in Nambia.
Which I think he was in because Nambia wouldn't send him back to the United States.
It's a win-win.
Well, for everybody, but for the people who ended up seeing the movie.
Oh, no, it's a gosh. This is another one, unfortunately. I hope it's two times in a row. I'm just going to go out and say it. Don't watch this movie. It's not even fun.
No, that's not. Oh. Well, not two times in a row. We had Bounty Killer was the last
one. Oh, yeah, you're right. Bounty Killer is good. Sorry, I was thinking of, for me, the picks.
Oh,
that,
your picks?
Well, I'm not going to take credit for the David and Goliath. That was kind of a fan pick, but...
Yeah, keep blaming that on Heather.
But I was definitely interested. I do admit I was definitely interested in that. Getting that movie, but and then when I saw this, I'm like, oh man! So you got this this movie called Gallo Walkers, which is starring Wesley Snipes, and he plays this weird cowboy like, it's almost like Wild Wild West Blade. They were like, let's capture what Blade was, but put in like maybe some of the Matrix and some other stuff, and then like throw it in this Wild Wild West mentality or this scenery and like kind of background, but it was so sparse and weird. I don't know what the hell they're going for this movie, but anyway, you've got Wesley Snipes and he's trying to do something. He's got there's so much weird plot garbage that they don't ever explain. But yeah, so you've got a guy who's hunting the men who raped his sister and like his adopted sister / wife. I don't know what the hell is going on in that relationship. But anyway, she was raped and impregnated by these bad guys. So then he goes away from her because he, I guess, couldn't handle it emotionally. And yeah, and then like he's in the sense of movies, him hunting down these Gallo Walker or these guys that raped his girlfriend. But he also at some point gets dies, and then his mother, who's a part of a satanic cult, makes a deal with the devil to raise her own son back from the dead. And then the devil says, I'll do this. However, I'm also going to raise the men that he killed recently, which were the rapists, back from the dead. And but I guess it also means that now anybody he kills comes back from the dead. So Wesley Snipes is now on a hunt to kill the guys he already killed who had come back to life. But if he kills them, they can still come back to life again, apparently. And, do you have anything to add to this plot?
Well, I'll just say that if our listeners, if that explanation seemed a little confusing, that's because this movie is confusing as hell. The whole, it starts off, you see like a flash of this rape scene, and there's really not a whole lot of explanation about who these people are. And it was until like three quarters.
I don't even know who the woman was. So, the victim, I didn't know who she was. It's like, it's just okay. Well,
and even before that, like, I think the first scene of the movie is some weird blonde kid carrying buckets of blood
And it's gratuitous. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and it, why? I don't know why this kid has blood. They still don't ever really explain that. You know, and then we meet Wesley Snipes' character, and we're not going to be using a lot of names of people in this because they don't ever say any names.
Yeah, you hear Wesley Snipes' character name, I think, once or twice, and then I'm guessing other people get named at certain points, but not only is there not many names, there are so many characters that are so pointless, they don't make any sense of why they're there, there's no reason to have them in the movie, yet there they are, and taking up lots of screen time. I'm going to tell you right now, there's two characters you get introduced to towards the beginning. One is a random white dude who I think I renamed him. What did I call him? What is his name? Brett Michaels. I called him Brett Michaels because he's just this random white guy who's got really long hair. And then at some point he cuts his hair and then puts like a headscarf on it. And he looks like the lead singer of Scorpion. You
know, his character's name was Fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I look. Yeah, well, the only reason I even know that is because I had subtitles on for some reason. I just didn't feel like turning them off. So at some point, it says like Fabulous Laughs, and I'm like, what? I was like, what do you mean he's having fabulous laughs? I've never heard that before. Then I looked it up and saw that his name was actually Fabulous, and I'm like, oh, okay. So yeah.
Yeah. So you got this kid's dumping blood. Don't know why they're there, and they're at like this house where Wesley Snipes shows up and drags this man inside and chops off his head, and that's kind of, we get the first flashback, flash forward, whatever weird rape scene that's not explained at all.
And it's very weird, and it's like the bad acting really turns up there. There's some like crazy guy who's like, it's almost like a tropey, like, you know, it's a scene where there's a woman, she's, you know, by herself, and then there's all these guys going like, yeah, yeah, and it's like, oh my God.
There's a lot of this that made me, by the third or fourth time that they did this, I was like, I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was just like, why? And not to mention, I mean, you know, I'm not one to necessarily get on a high horse about this, but there was so much like weird disparaging of women in this movie. Did you pick up on that at all?
Well, yeah. Well, there's like three women in the movie, and it's pretty obvious that, like, I guess women in this movie are basically one thing, and that is prostitutes.
Yeah, yeah. Like the first main character woman we see, she's like, I'm a whore, or no, she says I'm a dancer, and then everyone calls her whore in the movie, and then like the guy, the main bad guy, has a female sidekick that he's like, she's my whore. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, you know, yeah, like.
I mean, this is set in the Old West, or I guess it is. Like, they don't really, I don't know if they ever say like a location.
Dystopian future in the past of, I have no idea.
Because it's definitely Earth, because they make a lot of religious references, like Christianity references at one point. But yeah, so, yeah, I mean, just. All the women are basically treated like they're prostitutes. You know, you got this girl who's they keep flashing back to the rape scene. One of the guys that's there, one of the offenders, is the guy who Wesley Snipes just brought in and chopped his head off. So you know that she's got some connection to him, but you don't know, is this, like, I went through most of it thinking that was his wife.
Yeah.
But I guess, is it his wife? I still am not 100% sure.
Yeah, so, you know, I'll flash forward a little bit. You don't get any actual backstory to any of these things at all until, like, 45 minutes into the film when, like, finally, I guess, you know, Wesley Snipes is talking to Brett Michaels about, or Fabulous, I should say, about who he is and why he's doing what he's doing. Because, you know, because that's the thing is, when you first even meet this character that he rescues, he basically shoots this guy's cuffs off at some point. You don't know why. Why did he choose this guy? Why is he shooting the bolts off this dude's, why did the guy get arrested? You don't know. There's just a line of criminals that are all getting taken away to some camp, and he rescues them.
One of them.
Well, yeah, one of them. And then has them like follow him and recruits him in a way. It doesn't make any damn sense.
Yeah, it's almost like he was going after him specifically because of his skills of like a marksman.
But they don't explain
how he knows this, or, I mean, he's not really, Wesley Snipes isn't really even a hero, because it's like you have this other group of people, innocent people, that are, you know, he must know are being arrested for no reason, because they're all getting ready to hang him, for nothing. Like, they don't really, they don't read any charges or anything. They're basically like, we're sacrificing you or because of your, I think they say something about your transgressions, but no explanation what that is.
And there's that weird, so there's prisoners, he rescues the one guy who escapes, everyone else is taken to this weird prison town camp thing, which is in, which is lived in by these, it's like, I was like, is this like a forgotten Western Norwegian camp? Because everyone is white and blonde.
Yeah, they might have like super blonde, creepy people in this movie.
I guess they're supposed to be some sort of like, you know, Mennonite looking people, like very.
Maybe it's like a eugenics thing, like they're the. I don't know.
Because, even like the there's like a preacher kind of guy who's like, my golden-headed people, lay bow your heads as I speak the word of the Lord kind of thing. And then there's like a sheriff that shows up too at some point and gives some words. And it's like, oh my God. And then there's another point where the woman's like, you're not so holy. I remember what you wanted from me back at the old station. And he's like, shut up, you whore. Yeah, it's like, oh my God. Like, it's just like. And then that's when you get also you'd introduced to the bad guy who looks like he's got like some weird hot dog skin. It reminded me of like a Tool video or something with you. See, it's like a Mr. Body.
It's all like the just muscle
tissue and stuff
underneath. Which that I thought actually didn't look terrible, but you only see it in the one scene because then you find out that these bad guys, you're left to assume that these are the Gallow Walkers. Like skin people and take their skin and use it as like a mask or it like morphs into them. They don't really say why.
I think I found out why, and that's in the only, and they don't explain it at all because guess what, folks listening at home or wherever you are. So that yes, you have these bad guys who apparently have risen from the dead and now they are walking the earth and they're hunting down Wesley Snipes' character. I think. The leader wants to figure out why, because out of all the rapists that were killed in his gang henchmen, one of them was his son, who I guess didn't come back to life. So he's kind of like trying to figure out why Wesley Snipes was able to kill them, and they all came back except for his son. I think that's the plot. Not really sure.
Which you don't figure out until at least three quarters of the way into the movie. That's the bad guy's motivation, is he's trying to get his son to come back to life. He doesn't understand why all these other ones came back to life, which until you said at the beginning, I guess I didn't realize that Wesley Snipes was the only reason that any of them came back.
Yeah. This the first time you see the bad guy, he looks like he's just like a fleshless muscle man, and he kills one of the weird Mennonite tailors. Like, he's getting like fitted for shirts or something, and it doesn't make any sense why this guy would even like work with this guy. I thought that he was in a camp of his own people or something. I thought he was a leader of the camp when he first showed up, like, oh, this is the guy who's actually the leader of the town. And turns out no, he kills the guy that was helping him get a shirt, and then he takes the dude's skin in a matter of seconds. Then sews it onto his face, and it's like, and so he has like this, you know, weird cut rim around his like whole head, you know, that looks like he put, you know, this is where I turn on the movie, is like Face Off, you know, all of a sudden it's totally like, you know, they're just putting some dude's face on him, and it looks ridiculous. And but I guess at that point you kind of find out that you know, with his power, he's able to the skin, I guess, goes bad over time. And that's where I'm trying to get around to is there's a man in his group that, I'm not joking, has lizard tails coming out the back of his head. And I'm just supposed to be like, oh, okay, you're sure. And then it was like, is this a Twi'lek from Star Wars? Is this like, what is that guy's name? I wrote it down because it's the guy that's helping out Jabba the Hutt throughout the whole movie, you know, like his little sidekick.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
I think it's Bib Fortuna or something like that, because I'm waiting for him to be like, De Jabba Nobada or something. He mentions that, I guess, the skin goes bad over time. So he got lizard skin because it holds up against the heat a lot better than human flesh. So yeah. I guess the skin still dies. It's just that they, you know, right. Can put
his
more
face. Yeah, his face is human, but it's sort of his skull in the back of his head that's like almost looked like, yeah, like lizard or crocodile skin. And he's kind of funny about it. He's like, you guys are all stupid. I got lizard skin on my head. This stuff's going to last forever.
Oh, my God.
It's hard to go in order with this because without explaining the plot, it's going to make as little sense to anyone listening to this as it did to us watching it. Because part of the problem is, You know, they have plenty of opportunities for, like, Wesley Snipes' character to explain some of this. You know, maybe, you know, when he picks up his new sidekick, to be like, hey, why'd you rescue me? Oh, because I'm hunting down these gallow walkers that are here because of me. And you know, they rape my wife and or mom or I don't, whatever the facts is, he would know because it's him who's doing it. And Wesley Snipes just answers everything with like some kind of cryptic riddle.
And it's, and yeah, the dialogue in this movie is so bad. Like, it doesn't even make me, like, it's not like, haha, they really suck at this. It's like, stop writing. Stop it. Like, don't, whoever wrote the dialogue for this just needs to, like, I can't imagine they got to this point. Like, this is one of those movies where, again, you get through it and you're like, how was this made? How was this approved? Like, this writing is so bad. Because it doesn't make any sense. And there's so many times, like, like I think after the guy, Bret Michaels gets captured and he's freed and after he's freed, he doesn't just run off and do whatever he wants. He tries to follow the guy that rescued him for some reason.
Leaves him behind?
Yeah.
Like, he runs after him and Wesley Snipes is on his horse.
He's like, you can't catch me. And then he finally catches up with him and he's like, I'm not moving a single step further until you tell me what's going on. And then he does move a step further, and then Wesley Snipes' character like throws him some food or a gun or something, and then he kind of goes into a background story of what happened. And I'm trying to look through my notes here because it's like you don't actually get the backstory until after I think the fight scene that happens at the little his like training camp, because that's the thing is he like coaxes this Bret Michaels dude to his back to the home where the guy's head in the beginning of the movie was chopped off, and then he falls into this pit where I guess he's up against, he's given a gun and like, okay, survive for the next 10 minutes while we throw some zombies at you.
Right, it's like a trial by fire of let's see if you've got what it takes. It's like for this job that you didn't ask for.
Yeah, and I'm just going to throw some really dangerous zombies at you and it's going to be really confusing. It's like, why? Why would he even help at this point? Why wouldn't he just try to murder Wesley Snipes as soon as he got free? Because it's like, oh, I was going to die, but now you're trying to kill me every chance you get.
Right. So then he finally gets out that he says something. He's like, what, now do I owe you? And Wesley's like, yes. Do you have a job in mind? Yes. It reminded me a lot, actually, of David and Goliath and how many conversations in that. There's just these long pauses in between it. It almost seemed like when they were filming it, maybe they weren't actually filming it together. Like, they were filming one person's part and then another person's part. And they had to leave, like, pauses in the audio or something.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing ever was, like, a real fast, like, ping pong. It was always, like, somebody would say something and then wait a couple seconds.
Oh, yeah. And this is the cheesiness of the whole movie. I mean, there is some cheese in it that really, I don't know why they even put it in there, because they all, throughout the rest of the film, they really try to like make it serious. But when he gets out of this like zombie training camp and he's facing off against Wesley Snipes, they're getting ready to do that, you know, the classic showdown between the dueling pistols or whatever. And they're getting ready and oh, the tension's mounting. And then Wesley Snipes draws, but then he said throws a bag of coin on the ground in front of him. Hey, I'm not actually trying to kill you, I'm trying to pay you. Like, he doesn't tell him, like, hey, I have a job for you, would you be interested? He's just, no, I'm going to pretend like I'm about to get into a shooting match to the death with you, but instead of pulling my gun, I'm going to pull a bag of coin.
Yeah, and then he says, half now, half later, when you finish the job. But he doesn't say what the job is. It's just...
Again, or how long it's going to take. I think he says, like, when it's done. He's like, when is it going to be done? He's like, when it's done or something. Like, okay, so this could be, like, the rest of my friggin' life. Like,
yeah, and that's kind of when we finally get some of the backstory. And basically, like, we're going to prepare. These guys are going to be coming for us. If you make it through this gun battle, which there's no reason you should stick around for, you know, I'll give you another bag of coins, right, basically.
And you come to find out that the backstory is basically, oh, I'm not going to say basically, because it's not basic. It's ridiculous. Wesley Snipes' mother was recruited by a satanic cult. I guess she got pregnant. They don't say who, by who, or why, because it was like an all-female cult that worships the devil. What was it called? It was like some, you know, really lazy Spanish name. It was like San Diablo. It was like, oh, it was the Sisters of San Diablo. That's what it was.
Yeah, because I was like, did they say the Sisters of San Diego?
Yeah, it was the Sisters of San Diablo, and that was what his mother joined, and then I guess she got pregnant, and they were like, oh, well, you have to send the baby away. He can't stay with the Sisters of San Diablo because this is a secret devil-worshipping cult in the middle of the desert. So she sent him away to some orphanage, and then he grew up, got too old for the orphanage, and had to leave. And then he found this woman who owned a butcher shop in the middle of the desert, and that's where you're introduced to in the beginning of the movie, is this woman's butcher shop. And then she had a daughter that he grew up along with, I guess, from like a young adult into an adult as like his half sister, but then he falls in love with her and, you know, and then it's like his lover / girlfriend and soulmate, whatever. And then he leaves one day because, and that's another thing too. It's like, it's so cliche. It's like, one day I decided to take the meat to the market along with my, you know, my new mother. And we wanted to take my, what's her face with me, but she was like, no, I can take care of myself. And we left her behind for just one day. And of course, on that very day, 5 men rode through and raped the crap out of her. It's like, okay.
Like, right. So then, so she ends up pregnant as a result of this, which he is not okay with. So he like abandons her?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's the whole thing. I get so weird. I was like, are you joking? Like, so what happens is, yeah, she gets pregnant from it, and that's like the end of it. He even says like she wanted to just move on and forget it and take care of the child and like, you know, try to just recover from it and move on in like a positive manner. And he was like, but I couldn't handle it. Yeah, I couldn't take the embarrassment or whatever it was.
You were Wesley Snipes' character was a child of like of unwanted pregnancy, and that didn't turn out so great. And like maybe you'd have some sympathy for this woman that you love who just went through and you're just like, nope, not my kid, I'm out.
Not my problem, peace. And then he's like, then I left for 5 years. Right. Like, that's not only is that just fucked up that he would do that to his life, his soulmate, his life partner, whatever he was calling about, but then also to leave the kid hanging that long. Like, not only is she now he's abandoning his mother and his, you know, girlfriend, wife in the middle of a dire situation, but he's also leaving the kid all alone too. And like you said, it's like he was this forgotten child, and it's, you know, he was just like, well, send him to an orphanage for all I care. Well, then he returns after 5 years because maybe he, you know, had a final change yard. He just needed to go on a few benders and search himself. Well, turns out his wife died in childbirth. Like, it wasn't even the rapist came back to finish the job or kill the kid and kidnap the child. I don't even know what would happen. But no, the rapists are long gone. And when he comes back, his wife's dead from childbirth. And that also is probably compounded by the stress of him friggin' leaving.
Yeah, so he decides at this point he's going to go on a kill crazy rampage to kill all the men responsible. And then they show that, like, they kind of cuts away and they show him breaking into this jail and shooting these people who were the Gallows Walkers. But, like, there's nothing that really helps you know what's a flashback. Like, he has this right. weird face paint on, but, like...
Oh, yeah, I think that was still part of a flashback. I couldn't tell because, yeah, he looks totally different. Oh, by the way, folks, in this movie, Wesley Snipes looks like a ridiculous anime character almost. He's got, like, a purple leather vest and dreadlocks and a wispy white beard that's very pointy and a sweet leather hat. It's like a weird, like, Crocodile Dundee look mixed with some kind of, like, witchy, you know... I don't know. I don't really know what's going on there. But yeah, so he has that look most of the time. But then it cuts to the scene where he's bald and has kind of this strange face paint and almost kind of like a... look like a voodoo kind of, like, dark magic look to him.
Yeah, I guess that was how you were supposed to know that this was taking place in the past. But in the moment, I definitely didn't get that. Because I'm like, wait a minute, he already killed these people. Why are they?
How would he even know who they are? That's what I don't understand. Is like, how would he wasn't there for the rape happening, and then she just told him I was raped by these 5 guys, and he didn't see him, and but yet now he knows where the jail is and where to find. And of course they're all jailed up together because, you know, rapists that rape together stay together. Or I don't know what the hell. It doesn't make any sense. Well, that's the thing too, is I don't even know who all these other people are in this group. I know that there's a couple bad guys you get to meet throughout the movie in various ways that don't make any damn sense. And And then he just starts shooting everyone in the prison. Guards, prisoners, he didn't care. He's killing everybody. Like, wait.
he kills the girl who's the one prostitute for the one guy, like the head bad guy.
Yeah.
So then we get out of that and we go back to the main bad guy, like the face-stealing dude. And he's describing, I guess their plan is they want to try to draw out or find Wesley Snipes to take him out for good. And so they, I guess for whatever reason, think that if they take this, the girl, the dancer that you meet at the beginning, and hold her hostage, I guess because she's like visually similar looking to his...
Is that why? Because I don't know. No, for real, dude, I heard that character, like, you know, like she's literally one of the only other female characters in the film, aside from a bunch of weird zombie dudes and whatever. Like, I had no reason. Why is she even in the movie? She doesn't like serve any plot at all, except for like one of the innocent people that's, you know, caught. Same with a priest. There's like this priest guy who has like a vial of. He's trying to sell some kind of medicine, and then he gets captured. It's like, but he has. I'm like, what the?
Yeah, the way I took it is they were using her as like bait, thinking that for whatever reason he would want to rescue her, even though he had a chance because she was in the same group of arrested people as Fabulous.
Brett Michaels. When
he only released her, so I don't know, because this is where like I think one of the cheesier lines is they're talking about the plan and somebody's like, or that sounds like a good idea, and the main bad guy's just like, wearing a hat in the rain's a good idea, this is genius.
Oh yeah, and that, by the way, there's so many times that main bad guy does some really cheesy maniacal laugh. Like if you can literally picture what you would think some cartoony villain would sound like when they laugh, this is what this guy sounds like, because he literally goes like muahahahaha, like it's like, okay, dude, go back to acting school.
Yeah, it was either that or I thought the guy was trying to use this girl for some way to somehow bring his son back.
Oh yeah, no, that's right. No, he was gonna take her skin and give it to his son. So he's gonna. That's another thing he said. He's like, you have very nice skin. It's firm but soft. And he's like, I'm gonna use you to reskin my son once we bring him back to life. I think that's what he was gonna do. So that's why they're keeping her around. Because well, I guess, you know, all these, like, you know, panhandler, miner-type people that live in the Wild West are not as fair-skinned as this young woman. So he wanted a young woman's skin to put on his son?
Well, flip a coin, folks. I don't know which one it was, and I wouldn't recommend.
What are they going to do with his penis?
Oh, God.
I didn't plan for this. Also, you have really saggy chests because there were boobs on the last person that wore this.
Now that I think about it, this is kind of weird.
This is a stupid idea. So yeah, this movie is ridiculously bad. And it's not even like fun. Like the movie is supposed to be some kind of action, you know, no, spaghetti western, and there's so much dead space between the action, and the action is so dumb.
Yeah, and the action scenes are so fast because Wesley Snipes is such a quick shot.
Yeah.
He just goes like, bang, 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 and everyone's dead.
Yeah, so they finally get attacked by the group of bad guys, one of which is my favorite, Skullbucket, who is played by Diamond Dallas Page. And it's literally like they took a witch's, like, what is it called? What are those like big metal pots they use?
Cauldron.
Like a cauldron. And they put it on his head and then like put a bunch of spikes on the cauldron. And he's just like, he can barely see out of it. And that's part of the thing that he plays into it when he attacks the little kid from the beginning of the movie. But he like rams people like a rhino and in general. And then he skewers Brett Michaels. And I'm like, well, that was kind of anticlimactic. Like, he beats the crap out of Brett Michaels' character, Fabulous, and I don't know, like, yeah, and then of course everyone dies because Wesley Snipes is unstoppable. And that's the thing too, is I guess in this movie, all the zombies he kills, he takes their head because
Well, like normal zombies, that's the only way to make sure they don't come back.
But not necessarily, because there's other parts of the movie where you see a guy, because remember there's a guy that gets his head cut off and he comes back in the guy's, and it's also, by the way, folks, the killing move that he does is literally he just tears their head off by, like, with his bare hands.
Yeah, sheer brute.
It is like the scorpion finishing move from Mortal Kombat and the dangling spinal column. And so there's a scene where one of the bad guys, I guess, recaptures the spinal column and head of a bad guy, and it's like wiggling around, like it's still alive. So I guess, like, you know, it still doesn't kill him, but he just, I guess, it can't do anything without a body. I don't know, because they don't explain it at all, like how this works or anything. But yeah, they keep shooting him in the head, and that seems to take him out for good, but.
Well, because it's described as zombies, but they're not, like, they have full cognitive function. They're able to speak and talk, like they're intelligent, and it seems like the only real negative of being a Gallo Walker is that your eyes turn yellow, and every once in a while you have to replace your skin.
Yeah. Because, you know, that's how it works, and that's, you know, the science of it all.
Yep. Yeah, and in the middle of the fight, there's like a random dust storm that rolls in, and then, like, Wesley Snipes is out there with a whip. Just spinning around in the dust with Indiana Jones and taking out bad guys left and right. And yeah, like you said, it's very anticlimactic, the whole, like, end. Well, like the second to last kind of end big battle where they're assaulting this cabin. And at the end of it, you know, everything's kind of all... Oh, there is one part I thought this was weird was... Wesley Snipes is, like, walking away, and one of these, like, grotesque guys is chasing after him, and the kid starts yelling after him, like, saying, hey, you know, like, yelling, hey, there's somebody chasing you, there's somebody, he just keeps walking, like, he doesn't hear him.
Yeah, like, the kid's, like, 20 feet away. Like, it's not like, it's, you know, like, and he's screaming, he's like, hey, turn around!
It's almost like he wanted the kid to take care of it, which he does. He uses his little slingshot thing. Yet another similarity between this and David and Goliath, and, like, hits the monster in the head and takes him out, and Wesley Snipes just turns and goes, kids. What the fuck does that mean?
Oh, I don't know. Kids and their ridiculous toys taking out giant monsters. Also, didn't he cut his head off? That was the thing, too, is, like, the whole fight scene between... Wesley Snipes' character in Skullbucket, who's played by Diamond Dallas Page, is like a Power Rangers scene. It literally looks like Power Rangers. I'm waiting for Wesley Snipes to be like, it's Morphin time! Gallo Walker! Because, like, it's weird karate that comes out of nowhere. They're, like, chopping at each other and doing, like, sweep kicks, and it's, you know, and he's like... And of course, you know, the guy wearing a cauldron hat is like the way to really confuse him is to, you know, clang him in the head with something metal. And that happens like four times in this scene where they're like, bong. And the guy's like, oh, I'm confused. Like, and then he leads him into the same chamber that they behead a cow earlier in the movie. And then he like drops the guillotine on this dude. And I guess it just cracked his helmet off. So I don't know why you wouldn't check to make sure. Because it was like this, you know, very like super smooth way to just like kill a guy. Because like Wesley Snipes gets kind of roughed up a little bit, but then he just starts walking away, and the guy chases after him with his rhino move of "I'm going to smash you with my big cauldron hat," and gets stuck in the guillotine. And then, you know, Snipes just, you know, drops a guillotine on him, and I'm like, "Yeah, I finished him." And he's like, you know, clap your hands and dust off your shoulder and walk away. And that's all he does. It's like he did that because then, no, it turns out he's still alive and he's chasing you, but you know. Snipes is still in that mood of, I just killed a badass guy and I'm walking away. And then he's getting chased and the kid's like, behind you, you stupid idiot. Oh my God.
I didn't notice that a lot of times when Wesley Snipes was like fighting things, he would pause in like an action pose for a few seconds. Almost like he thought people were taking pictures.
Oh yeah. He has like a power stance half the time too. Like there's a famous YouTube video which is like Mark Gormley. Have you heard of that? It's like this guy who made a really cheesy music video. And there's like the joke that came out of that was not only is the song kind of funny because it's like, you know, it's just like a normal everyday dude that got a $20 budget to make a music video and it caught on the internet because it's so ridiculous. But one of the things he does is this like stance in the video. And it so reminded me of that because every time Wesley Snipes is in this movie and it's just him by himself, he's got this kind of like wide stance with one leg cocked out to the side, and he's just got like hands on his hips, like I'm a badass cowboy, bounty hunter slash vampire slayer slash, I don't know, zombie gallow walker killer, even though I'm the one that creates them, because anytime I kill somebody, they turn into one. So wouldn't I just stop killing people, but...
Slash tax evader.
And he kills everybody. Like, that's the thing, too. It's like, it'd be one thing if he just killed the gallow walkers and was like, yeah, I don't want any more of these gallow walkers around, so I'm just going to kill them and take their heads or whatever you do, and then put them in a box so they never can escape, and bury it deep in the sand. I don't know what he's got to do to eradicate them permanently, because you never really find out.
Yeah. So the more I realize, like, this movie, basically Wesley Snipes is just like a family abandoning... serial
murderer, kid. Yeah. Like, yeah, so you're kind of, we're drawing close to the end. I mean, after he kills all of, you know, the main bad guy's best henchmen, you know, he finally, I guess, hunts down, how does he find out where the guy went?
Well, hold up, because right as the dust settles on that last little fight, and him and Fabulous comes back out, Fabulous been stabbed in the stomach. He shoots and kills Fabulous.
Yeah, he just blows him away.
I'm like, I mean, he explains it to him later a little bit. I guess he was like
at the end, not until the end of the movie. Cause like you, and as the audience, you don't have any friggin' clue why he did it.
He just literally like shoots this guy. And I was like, he didn't pay him. He just murders this.
He turned into like Grand Theft Auto. Yeah.
like you team killing fucktard. What are you doing?
Thanks for the help. You asshole. Now eat shit. Yeah, so he wasted Bret Michaels' character. Even the kid, I think, is like really like, why did you do that?
Yeah, so then, and with no explanation given, he tracks down the main bad guy who's got his son who he's trying to resurrect, and the...
They found this hidden temple, which you get to see two guys literally banging on the side of a mountain with like picks, with like, you know, like mining picks, and then all of a sudden they cave in an entire temple with like two guys like tink, tink, tink. And it's like, bagoosh. And like all of a sudden there's like a you know, like a cave in, and they've revealed a massive, you know, cultish temple, I think, that belonged to the Sisters de la Diablo or whatever.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of the final standoff. And again, it doesn't really feel like it, because Wesley Snipes just draws his gun and shoots the guy in the head.
Yeah, and I mean, again, you know, this, at least it wasn't as long and drawn out as the one from David and Goliath. But I mean, it still was. It was very similar to that. And I gotta also, it was very similar camera work. There was so much shitty camera work in this movie, where like the guy's like, oh, I'm gonna pan again from left to right, or circle around Wesley Snipes' head like 100 times while he's talking.
Yeah. So, and that, but they do kind of come to the realization that the reason that the bad guy's son was not resurrected was because he killed himself.
Yeah.
So they kind of figured out that mystery that nobody cares about.
Oh, and Bret Michaels shows back up. Fabulous shows up at the end, right before the end, too, to kind of...
Yeah, and not even really all
and
that
And he's not
mad.
Even mad. He's like, oh, do you need some more help? Sure, buddy. Here's your gun back. You're going to need this. Hope you're good with your left hand. Har, 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 har.
Yeah, so then Snipes blows off the dead son, the one that they're trying to resurrect, just shoots him in the face, like his mummified body, so he can't come back, and then rips off the head of Blondie.
And that was some pretty cheesy computer animation at that point, too.
Yeah. Every time he did that, it was like kind of that weird video speed.
Yeah. They slow down the speed of the video, and then there's like this CGI head that pops out of the character and a dangling spinal cord with like fake blood. I'm like, this really is Mortal Kombat. Like, maybe they were thinking that this would be added to more like one of the new Mortal Kombat games. They're like, yeah, maybe we could have like a Gallo Walker's Mortal Kombat special character for DLC. And that'll be his finishing move, is he'll just ever so gently tear someone's head off. I don't know why they wrote it, to be honest. There's so many pointless flashbacks. There's like so many characters in this movie. Like a lot of the bad guys, you have no idea why they're there. Like, we didn't really go over this, but in the beginning, there's a scene where three guys in red robes are going down a railroad track and running into some guy, and you don't know what's going on. Then Wesley Snipes shows up and kills all of them. I think one of the guys was the one of the rapists, but the other three weren't.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know who. There seems to be these groups or clans or cults of people you have no, like, the other thing that was strange is all these locations, there's only ever one building. Like, there's no towns around here, not even like the Old West where like one street of no, everything's just one building out in the middle of nowhere.
And there's some tents, I think, for that one town where the religious people were. It was a bunch of like military tents they had set up, and then a big, you know, gallows chamber.
Right. And so why are they sacrificing these people? Like, there's so little explanation given to just the world in general. Is this supposed to be in the 1880s, or is this in some like post-apocalyptic world? No clue.
You know, that's where that's kind of where it ends. It ends with Wesley Snipes' character just walking off into the sunset with the guy's head dangling next to him. And then I think you see that Fabulous and the, you know, the dancing prostitute lady that was going to have her skin stolen and was supposed to be bait or whatever. She's going to possibly be a love interest for the Fabulous guy.
Oh, God.
So that was it, folks. Honestly, my conclusion of the film is, again, I did some looking into it, and I really think that there were many things that hurt this movie. Aside from the terrible writing and terrible dialogue, the whole thing with Wesley Snipes most definitely interrupted filming. I'm sure they had to cut stuff or wasn't able to even film certain parts of the movie, because there's so many parts that don't even make sense. Like, it'll cut from one scene where Wesley Snipes is doing something, and then the next scene he's sneaking up in that temple on somebody, and it's like, okay, he just magically showed up, and I don't know. There's so many things that don't make a lot of sense, and I think they would have filmed, if they had the ability to, they could have filmed it to maybe clear things up. But I think what you mentioned earlier is like, they maybe like filmed a lot of parts, and then there was their editing together. They're like, God, we need to film more stuff, but Wesley's in trouble. We can't use him.
Yeah. One thing I did read was that the voiceover in the beginning, and that happens kind of throughout the movie, of Wesley Snipes.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't him.
Wasn't him.
It sounded like, it's like you have this guy who sounds similar to Wesley Snipes, but you can definitely tell it's not Wesley Snipes. And I'm like, who's this narrator? Is it Wesley Snipes? Is it not? I don't know. Is it
Wesley Snipes impersonator? That's kind of weird. So, did you have any favorite quotes?
Yes, my favorite quote, I put it in my notes somewhere, I should have, like, bolded it. Oh, yeah. There's so many cheesy one-liners, or, like, kind of back-and-forth one-liners between the characters, but one of the scenes in the beginning was, when Fabulous is kind of agreeing to camp out and wait into the shed, you know, until the bad guys show up. He looks over to, Wesley Snipes' character and goes, "How much time I got?" And then Wesley goes, to eat, to sleep, or to live? And doesn't actually answer the question, and then just walks away. And there's so much shit like that where, like, he just kind of, I think in that, not very far away from that scene, it might have been a little bit earlier, there's a rattlesnake that shows up. And he's like, "I don't miss nothing. I'm a good, you know, good shooting cowboy." And then Wesley Snipes is like, "You missed that." And he has, like, this shit-eating grin on his face as he points to the ground, and guess what? There's a rattler at the Fabulous's feet, and he's like, "Oh no!" and runs away. But then, of course, the guys were standing like 10 feet away from each other when this whole thing goes down, and Wesley Snipes is sitting on the ground, just like with his hat down, like he's taking a nap. And then he points out that there's a rattlesnake not 5 feet away from both of them. And then after they have that kind of weird comedy scene, nobody does anything about the snake, and Wesley Snipes' character just goes back to chilling on the rocks. Like, it's like the snake's still there. Could kill Wesley Snipes next. Like,
yeah, I actually had the exact same scene written down for my quote of the "to sleep, to eat, or to live" question. I just was shaking my head. Like, all you ever do is you speak in riddles and you don't answer anything, and you hiring somebody and then you murder them.
And at the end of the movie, too, when the guy finally comes back, you that's when you get the explanation, and he's like, "Why'd you kill me?" And he's like, "Because I knew you'd come back, or because of my power, or because anybody I kill comes back to life." He didn't say it anywhere near as, like, straightforward as that, but that's kind of the gist of what he said. And then at the end, he's like, "I don't know how to be dead," or something. Right? He's like, "I don't know, nobody taught me how to be dead," or something. And then, like,
"Nobody taught you how to live."
Yeah, and then he's like, he says that, and then... What does he say? He's like, "Dead ain't what it used to be," or something.
Yeah. It's like they couldn't agree on who was going to have the last word, so they just kept one-liming each other.
Yeah, and then it rolls the credits, which is like this crazy like animation. Like, we just watched some really killer, like, amazing film. Like, it's this neat, you know, panel, almost looks like a comic book, where they have like a cool cartoonish look of each character with their name and played by, you know. Yeah, and it's like, I don't even know who these people are. Like,
I guess they spent all the money on the credits.
Yeah, and that's what made me think this movie was trying to be something by like Romero or not Romero, but Rodriguez, or you know, maybe like a Tarantino movie, because it was ultra violent. It had this, they tried to have some kind of style, because I mean, they had costuming that was pretty good, and like, you know, the kind of ridiculous costuming, but I think that was intentional, and it was trying to be this like spaghetti Western mixed with maybe some zombie kind of this action horror, whatever, but it was just god awful. And the fact that I think that, you know, Wesley Snipes had the tax evasion issues, and it was pretty low budget for, you know, a big movie like that. I think it was like $17 million.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
And you know, and now it's like, you know, I think that I'm like, well, they made that with 17 and I still got David and Goliath for 50. It's we all know where that all, that's a whole nother can of worms we opened up, and I'm kind of sad now because it's jaded me for life. But it's,
so final score.
I gave it like a 1 out of 5. I don't think it's anywhere near as bad as David and Goliath, but at the same time, it doesn't have a whole lot of redeeming qualities. It's slow. It's boring. The dialogue is a joke. It's not. It'd be one of those things, if you're having a movie night and you just want to watch some corny movie and you're drinking with your friends or just hanging out and you want to watch something that's fun to watch and make fun of, this movie wouldn't be it, because you'd just be like, I'm bored. Let's just turn it off and go do something else. Or like, you know, it's just depressing and stupid, and you don't understand what's. And there's a lot of weird, like. And I took a lot of points off too for just the weird dialogue towards women. It actually kind of like creeped me out, because I'm like, not that I like, and I'm not trying to say that I'm not the best example of somebody who's a champion for like women's rights or anything like that, but it was just so weirdly out of place.
Yeah. The whole thing was just weird. It's like your hero is not really even a hero, which is fine. Like, I mean, anti-heroes are cool, but like, there's like no one good. Really, I mean, you have these innocent people, I guess. You don't really know anything about them, but again, Snipes is this family abandoning murderous guy, like, who team kills his own people, and still at the end apparently abandons the kid that he had. Is just like, nope, still don't want anything to do with you. I mean, it's not his kid, but
and even kills, like, and I think too, the whole point is like, you know, he if they would have just left him as, I'm going to kill the rapist, I would understand that. But then when he goes in and like starts murdering like the prostitute who's like literally probably like enslaved to this guy, who's just like along for the ride. It's like, well, I'm here because the guy that hired me is a murdering rapist. And he's like, too bad. And she like blew him a kiss. And after she blows him a kiss, he just blows her head off. It's like, okay, dude, what is your deal? Like, I don't get it. Like, you really are just some like psycho. Yeah, so I mean, this movie wasn't fun. It was kind of sad and scary, and I think they were trying to do some kind of Tarantino art flick, and it just fell flat on its face.
Yeah,
and I give it the music didn't help either. Like, music was really weird and corny too. It was like kind of this weird '80s rock in a mix with, I don't know. Yeah, so yeah, that was definitely 1 out of 5. And what did you give it?
2 out of 5, only because it was slightly better than David and Goliath. Like,
yeah,
so I kind of am trying to use those as my benchmarks. David and Goliath on the low end and Wolf Cop on the high end. And like, it was bad and it was boring. It wasn't as boring as David and Goliath. Some of the special effects weren't awful considering the budget. The acting was overall pretty bad. And I thought back and I looked through Wesley Snipes' filmography. I was like, this guy actually hasn't really been a great actor. Like, Blade, I liked Blade.
Yeah, teenager and, Logan loved Blade.
But yeah, exactly.
And I don't know if it would necessarily hold up today.
And Demolition Man, him as Simon Phoenix.
Yeah,
I know he was in some other movies, like going back, that, you know, White Man Can't Jump and New Jack City and a couple other things that I haven't really seen in a long, long time. But and obviously he hasn't been in anything recently because of his legal troubles, other than this and some other, you know, I'm... The only other movie I can think of that I really liked with Snipes in it was U.S. Marshals.
Mm. Yeah, and I think he gets typecast too. I mean, ever since you know, Blade, he really is good at playing this like stoic, silent, brooding. You know, I would love to see more movies, and that may be me. I mean, he may be in stuff. I know he's in like Expendables and stuff like that, but I haven't seen many of those. But I'm sure it's just like a generic action flick. Yeah. But I would love to see him in where it's like more like drama, or he's like, you know, maybe a detective or something, where it's just give him more character, because he's always like, everything I've seen him in, he's just this like silent but deadly killer who's like, you know, cryptic, and I don't know. I guess it's kind of hard to do that sometimes when you're stuck. Wasn't he in Major League?
Yes, he was Billy Mays Hayes.
Oh, okay.
He was like,
so yeah, I guess it's comedy, you know.
Yeah, he was. I haven't seen that in a long time, but yeah, he was good in that. He was like the super fast guy who couldn't hit for shit, but was every time he'd get on base, he was just stealing bases.
Yeah, so send us Wesley Snipes movies that'll change our opinion on him. Not that I have a bad opinion of him, it's just that I think this was a unfortunate set of circumstances that, you know, like...
Yeah, so my kind of final thought was, my recommendation would be to avoid this movie like Wesley Snipes avoided his taxes.
What was your favorite character?
Probably the armadillo head guy, because he was the only one that made me laugh.
Yeah, lizard tails. Yeah, I was like, wow, they really totally stole this dude from... I mean, he even acts like the guy from Star Wars and Boba Fett's chamber. Like, he's this kind of slimy sidekick, you know, who's always at his boss's heels. I picked my favorite character as Wesley Snipes' power stance. Because you get to see that throughout the movie. Like, that's the thing, too, about this film is, while Wesley Snipes is definitely the main actor, there's so much of him that's like a shot from like 30 to 50 feet away, or he's like riding off into the sunset, or, you know, doing something action-packed from like a distance. It's like, but there's plenty of this like scenes where it's like, oh, cool, it's a cool sunset. He's standing up on the rocks and he's got this cool power stance. So thank you, Gallowalkers, for a terrible experience. And I hope we have listeners still.
We're trying to. Well,
I think you'll like. I think you like the one before this. I think I'm getting a little too hung up on the fact that there was a good one between this, and hopefully the next one's good.
Yeah, David and Goliath definitely is sticking with us. Hopefully you all didn't watch it. You took our advice, and as I said, I really meant what I said. If you watched it, I will send you a card that says I'm sorry.
Yeah, I will too. Shit. So we have a new movie. Do you want to go ahead and talk about
it? Next up, this was another listener recommendation from Michael Hensley. So thank you, Michael. It is Freaked, starring Alex Winter and Randy Quaid, and this one's available on YouTube, so you know it's a winner when the full movie is available on YouTube. So again, that is Freaked. That's R-F-R-E-A-K-E-D. Freaked. It's from 1993? Question mark?
I think. I didn't actually look it up. I think it is from like either late 80s or early 90s. It's around there.
All right. Well, I think that's about it, right? So check out Freaked. 2 weeks. That one will be out.
Yep, and hit us up on Twitter.
Yeah, send us your recommendations. The only other one I got, I'm kind of holding on to because I've heard it's brutally bad, and I'm kind of waiting for us to have like a string of good ones before I throw this one out there, because I definitely wasn't going to do it after this.
All right, well, I'm excited to hear what that is, and I think I'm excited. I hope it's not going to turn into another one of these Gallowalkers.
I'm worried that it's going to be David and Goliath again.
Oh, nice.
So I'm kind of...
All right, well, thanks all for listening. You know, don't let Wesley Snipes kill you or any of your friends, because they'll come back as skinless, yellow-eyed zombies. And we hope you tune in next week. I'm Logan.
I'm Andrew.
Well, here at last, dear friends, on the shores of the sea, comes the end of our podcast. Go in peace. I will not say do not weep. Not all tears.